Welcome to the Life Care Services Health Services Division podcast series. I'm your host today, Meredith Mall, Director of Rehabilitation Standards, and I have a special guest with me today from Life Care Services. She's our Therapy Quality Assurance Specialist, and her name is Michelle Kramer. And she's going to talk to us a little bit about our internal therapy quality assurance, or what I'm going to refer to as our therapy QA program. So today we're going to take just a shallow dive into our successes for 2016 and what our client communities can expect from the Rehab Standards Division in 2017. So, Michelle, good morning.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. We're excited to have you on our podcast today. So most of our listeners may not be, or some of them may have never heard your voice before or not familiar with you. Can you take a second to introduce yourself and kind of give a brief glimpse into your background?
Absolutely. Well, I am the LCS Quality Assurance Specialist, and I have 27 years of experience as a speech-language pathologist. I'm also board certified in healthcare compliance for the last 3 years. I've been working in multi-state management and in many different skilled nursing facilities, assisted living, outpatient, and home health settings. And I've also worked with attorney firms on the defense side, providing comprehensive audits encompassing risk management, clinical, rehabilitation, nursing, coding, billing, and reimbursement perspective related to legal healthcare action. So I provide medical record review, expert guidance, as well as advice. I also develop action plans and educate for clients on areas of clinical and financial risk.
Fantastic. So I know Life Care Services is super excited to have you on board. You come with a wealth of knowledge and experience as it relates to quality assurance. And so can you kind of explain what your role is inside of our company, inside of the Therapy QA program?
Absolutely. It's really exciting. I work with our third-party contracted vendors for therapy in the fact that we're doing action plans, auditing of charts in the medical records of all of our community. We look for and develop outcomes tracking and trending systems and reporting. And I do a crosswalk of standardized internal medical necessity audits with the third-party vendor. So I complete audits myself as well as a third-party therapy vendor. And then I collaborate and merge the reports together, sending them out to the administration as well as back to LCS so that we have record. And then we formulate action plans together as well as with the community to work on to alleviate our risk and decrease our errors.
Fantastic. I think that's such an important role for the company as we look at being proactive with our risk management efforts, looking at our appeals and denials, and really kind of wrapping our arms around each individual community and saying, here are your areas of concern, right? So if you want to protect your pocket, if you will, and make sure that you keep the money that you have been paid for claims, these are the things that you need to do going forward to ensure that that is the case. And so I think that your role within the company is so necessary in really helping to identify what those areas are. And then, you know, with turnover of staff and, therapists being promoted to PD and you've got, or program director, and you've got PRN staff, you've got all of these different folks, it's something you can never afford to take your eye off the ball, right? You're always constantly having to produce some sort of level of education and training as it relates to QA with your therapy field staff. So, so excited to have you here and to be executing this program for our client communities. So I want to talk about kind of where we started and where we are now. So we've been actually executing the program for a little over a year. There was a lot of pre-planning prior to the execution of this program, and we've kind of had to tweak things along the way. But I want to talk a little bit about our overall outcome of the program because I'm seeing some really good things, and I want to make sure that we are appropriately relaying that information to the field so that they can understand that these efforts really are making a difference. So when we look at our program, we use the red, yellow, green light system, right? So when we take our overall quarterly audit results, we categorize them by risk of denial. So the red category means it's a really high risk of denial and that this would ever be reviewed by an auditing agency or some sort of third party or federal reviewer, that there's probably a high risk of denial for a host of different reasons that are contained inside of our tool. And then the yellow is, yeah, it could kind of maybe go either way. There's a moderate risk of denial. And our green light outcome basically says this particular chart or this particular claim meets all of the conditions of participation for Medicare as it relates to therapy. And so when we talk about our outcomes of red, yellow, and green, let's specifically talk about the red, right? Our areas of high risk of denial. And can you kind of tell me, where did we start a year ago and where are we now?
When we started, we were at 64% in the red. And now we've made a significant impact and we are actually at 61% overall. This doesn't seem like a big improvement, but really is. When you're looking at high risk, you're looking at wanting to reduce that in any way. And we did have a learning curve initially to have the therapy vendors know how to audit as well as making sure that we're auditing in the same way. So we made a significant improvement by 3% overall in all the communities, and we have a very large community participation.
Right. So when we talk about, I know that a lot of administrators and executive directors within the company see these results and they say, oh my gosh, you know, there's so many of my results in the red category. But I think we've kind of figured out that we've attributed that to a host of different factors. One is the fact that we've got auditors on both sides of the gamut here. We've got the rehab partners participating and using the same tool that we are, and that sometimes there is some subjectivity in auditing, and we may be looking at different metrics in different ways. And we're going to talk a little bit about our inter-rater reliability study in a second. I think the second piece is our lack of interoperability. And so, you know, what we've traditionally done and our what our policy requires is that our vendors upload their discharge charts inside of our EMR system manually. And that because that's a manual system, that oftentimes there tends to be things that are missing or incomplete because we're requiring, you know, different documents to have physician signatures on them and then be scanned up into the system. And it can be cumbersome and a little bit disorganized. And so since our policy is to have a full, complete medical record, those missing items end up showing up as a red flag, right? So I think there are a host of different things, right, that have affected that big bucket of high risk results.
Yes, I agree with you, Meredith. And one of the, a few of the areas that cause the audits to become red or high risk are appropriate medical diagnosis codes as well as treatment diagnosis codes that we identify that not only skill the patient but also support therapy services, as well as making sure that the billing is matching the MDS. So those two areas are specifically needed. And we've seen an improvement, but yet we still have some work to do.
Right. So we're actively incorporating those actions or remediations into our action plans. And that's why I think it's so important that the administrators be involved in this process and make sure that they're reviewing these results with their vendor partners to ensure that we are actually remediating things and not having the same errors time after time after time. So I think that that's a very important piece. And it also sounds like these high areas of risk are also something that can be identified in triple check. So if we're doing consistent triple check meetings and actually following the LCS policy for that, we should be able to catch some of these errors before they get to us and become red flags, correct?
Absolutely. I would say over 90% of the errors that we identify can be remedied just by doing the triple check every month.
Right. That's what I figured. So when we talk about our overall outcomes of our red, yellow, green light metric system, who was the most improved vendor as it relates to these overall results over the past year?
Encore was our most improved vendor.
Okay. And is there anything specific that we attribute to? What did they really improve in a particular area? Was it just more involvement from their QA folks? I mean, what do you really attribute that Encore taking that top spot for most improved?
It was really their education to the auditing people. So whomever was designated to do the audits at the community level, as well as their auditing team that they have. Their auditing team also goes out and trains the line staff so that they're producing the documentation and the medical necessity and doing what we need and what is necessary to make sure that the claim is paid.
Fantastic. Okay. So let's talk a little bit more about some other successes that we've seen and things that I think we are proud of internally inside of the Health Services Division. Let's talk about process improvement. Like, this was a pilot project for us. It was an evolving project to get to where it is today. We relied a lot on our vendor partners for feedback. We've also surveyed our communities, and we've gotten really high satisfaction rates with over 90% of the folks saying that they were completely satisfied with our program and thought that it was meaningful to their risk management and quality assurance efforts. So what specific process improvements have we made that would be important to our listeners, like specific to our tool, for example?
We made several different modifications as we've moved on, as the industry has changed, as the focus has changed in Medicare. But some of the changes that we're looking for in 2017 is really adding some physical agent modalities review with an unattended e-stim and other ultrasound e-stim itself. Looking at outcomes, medical diagnosis and treatment diagnosis patterns with the ICD-10, hopefully reducing the unspecified codes, adding discharge readiness statements, documents that outline a focus on patient and caregiver education, and then that discharge back to the home environment, looking at a percent, and then also assessing return to hospital. Adding also the Section GG, making sure that it's being completed for therapy, and use of the appropriate evaluation codes, PT and OT.
Okay. I think that's a really important point, because I think in 2016 we were really focused on process improvement, making sure that the procedure that we had outlined was realistic. And I think we did have to make some changes to our policy as it relates to the way we're uploading into the EMRs. We took the outpatient and inpatient claims and decided that our vendor partners could wait until that claim was discharged to do that upload instead of doing it every single week. So I know that a lot of it was procedural for 2016, but for 2017, kind of the future of our audit tool, I think you hit on some really important points in that we are looking at the same hot buttons as the DOJ and auditors and the RACs and the MACs, right? And we're also trying to take our tool and line it up with the SNF value-based purchasing and the Impact Act metrics that our nursing or health centers are required to be looking at, which is like your Section GG, which is like your percentage of discharge to the community, which is like your return to hospital. So the fact that we are continuing to evolve our program and make sure it stays relevant, I think is a great point for our listeners. So Now I kind of want to switch gears and talk a little bit about the inter-rater reliability study. When we talked about procedural and process improvement for 2016, I think this was a really big deal. It was a really big undertaking for us and our vendor partners. So can you explain to me what the inter-rater reliability study was and why we did it?
Absolutely. We decided to do an inter-rater reliability audit to make sure that we're auditing the same things the same way, so in the same areas. Initially, everybody was performing an audit, but at and with their own biases. So this is how they did it, this is how I did it, this is how we did it. So we wanted to make sure that we were doing and auditing the same areas in the same manner. So in order to do that, I had the therapy vendor complete their audits, and we identified several patients that we audited together. So they performed their audit, I performed my audit, as well as our team, and then collaborated on the areas to see, you know, how did we assess each area individually. And then we came up with a training tool so that we could train the auditors to audit the way we are looking at it. So we came with one unified definition of what we were looking for, the areas of how it was met, not met, and so we rolled that out and audited that for this past year.
Okay.
To make sure that we had each auditor again auditing the same way in the same manner on the same issue.
Which I think is such an important exercise to this program, not only for our overall results, right, but because the nature of an audit has so much subjectivity involved. So, you know, when we look at our inter-rater reliability study over the last year, our results did show that we had over 75% improvement in the way we are both looking at charts in the same manner. And so which vendor partner that we work with really showed the most improvement in the inter-rater reliability study?
That was TMC.
Awesome. Fantastic. Kudos to TMC. So we also track errors by metric. So this was another study that we did outside of the inter-rater reliability because we wanted to say, okay, we look at our overall global results and we want to, let's take the top three or the top five areas of most concern and let's really focus on those areas for training and education to really help move the needle, right? Our goal is to move the needle more out of the red and into the green. And so focusing on those main areas of error were something we decided we needed to do. So what do you think was the area that had the most errors to begin with that improved the most a year later?
I would say the progress note documentation. And in respect to the progress note, that is the documentation that supports our billing. So this supports the medical necessity of the claim. So that was a significant impact in this year's audit outcome. We focused on education of the therapist. We focused on the therapy vendor getting out there and focusing on medical necessity, on getting the pieces in place to support the actual claim. And so that was our biggest outcome.
And that really makes my heart smile. And I'll tell you that the reason that is because it wasn't a technical thing, right? So, I mean, robots can do technical things. This was an actual subjective part of our documentation, right? This is a progress note that the therapist actually has to really think through and document what's actually happening and taking the skilled aspect of what they're actually doing and translating that to paper or electronically, right? So that's a really big deal. And I think that that is an awesome testament to the action plans and remediation efforts that we're putting in place as part of this program is because we're actually getting down to the meat of the medical record, right? The skilled necessity for therapy services. So Fantastic. That's a really exciting metric. So I think overall in 2016, we had some amazing leaps and bounds as it relates to risk mitigation and quality assurance. I do want to say hats off to you for being so diligent and so timely and so thorough with your review of our program. I want to point now to kind of the future. You know, what does it look like in the future for our program and specifically 2017? And we talked a little bit about how we are going to improve upon our audit tool as it relates to other legislation, law, and reform that's out there in healthcare reform, such as value-based purchasing and in the Impact Act. But I also want to focus on what I believe to be the biggest project ahead of us for 2017, and that's our EMR integration. So taking our therapy documentation and having it seamlessly integrate with our electronic health record, our MDS, our census interface, and then obviously our documentation interface. And I know this is something that both our listeners and our vendor partners have been very eager to have happen. So the way that it currently works right now is we're both operating out of separate systems. Our therapy partners go in. They actually have to manually take their documentation out of their system, convert it to a PDF, and manually attach it to our electronic medical record. And we've talked a little bit in this podcast about how cumbersome that is and why so many errors exist in that process. So the exciting part of this would be that our EMR systems will just manually go in and grab this documentation, pull it out without rehab having to do it themselves, and convert it to document to PDF and attach it to the patient record. So a very big improvement for us. And so we're kind of talking about three different systems right now. We have a few communities on our point click care, and that ADT, MDS, and documentation interface already exists. So we have a couple of communities who are kind of used to this process and system. For the rest of the communities within LifeCare Services, this will be a 2017 project. And so Vision is the most widely supported an LCS system for electronic health records, which is the Health Medics Vision system. And we have two pilots happening this month in December of 2016 that will go along with the vision optimization. And those would be a Kasamba platform. And so we will work through ensuring that the Kasamba vision interface happens seamlessly. And then starting in 2017, I believe the plan is to roll out week by week a different Kasamba-based community. Rehab Optima with Envision would be the second part of that project, and we are following suit with Vision's GA and their pilots as it relates to their own therapy interfaces. So Kasamba was first, Rehab Optima second. So we will hopefully start with some sort of pilot for Rehab Optima by the end of Q1. In 2017. We also have the Matrix system, which has quite a few communities on that EMR platform. And their focus is Rehab Optima, because that's currently the software system utilized by the therapy partner. And those codes are complete, and Rehab Optima is actually in the process of setting up a pilot, and that should hopefully be complete by Q2 of 2017. So my hope is by the end of 2017, we are interoperable with our EMR platform systems and our software platform systems for census and demographic information, for MDS Section O information, which are therapy minutes, and for therapy documentation of all sorts. So a lot of exciting things happening ahead. Michelle, I want to thank you for being on our podcast today. We are very excited to have you, and we look forward to having you again.
Thank you so much.
Have a good day.
Legal disclaimer. LifeCare Services LLC is not engaged in rendering legal advice. Therefore, any information provided in this podcast, although intended to be correct, is also not intended to replace or supersede the advice of your legal counsel. Also, thank you to Ben Sounds for the music provided in this podcast.